Well, let me add my welcome to those that you've already received. My name is Tom. Any visitors or guests? I met some of you in the lobby. What an honor and a privilege to have you here with us. And of course, to my CA family that might be watching this online, catching it on the app, you're seeing it Sunday morning. Great to be with you as well. Just a little update on that kingdom thing. Phil Erdialis, the guy that was kind of featured, he actually grew up in Crenshaw. So grateful to have him back in LA planting Union Church. And Joseph Barkley, who you saw, they just moved out of a smaller area into a high school, and they launched that new location 2 weeks ago, and they had their highest ever attendance in their 4 years of existence. They had 769 people there. Yeah. And Phil, who did Union Church LA, on their launch, they had 269 people in Crenshaw, and 25 people made first-time decisions of Christ on their very first Sunday. And all of that is happening because of your generosity, CA. Not only your generosity of giving to the kingdom offering, but also really just your generosity of allowing me and others to spend time with them, pouring into them, coaching them up, and developing them as they lead. So I want to thank you for all of that. Well, if you are just jumping in with us, we are in a series on the parables of Jesus, these stories that Jesus throws alongside our life that are a window into the kingdom as well as kind of a mirror into our own soul. And they help us see into the kingdom, but also consider our own hearts and minds in light of the story that was told. Well, one day, an old man was casually walking along a country lane with his dog and with his mule, and suddenly a speeding pickup truck careened around the corner and knocked the man, his mule, and his dog into a ditch. And the old man, he decided to sue the driver of the truck, seeking to recoup some of the damages that he had experienced. And while the old man was on the stand, the counsel for the defense cross-examined the man by asking a simple question. He said, "Listen, I want you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were, quote, perfectly fine? Because if you said that you were perfectly fine, then there is no basis for this lawsuit." And the old man said, "Well, me and my dog and my mule, we were walking along the road," and the counsel for the defense said, stop. "I asked you, tell me yes or no. Did you or did you not say that you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident?" The old man began, "Well, me and my dog and my mule, we were walking along the road," and the defense attorney just felt exasperated. He appealed to the judge, "Your Honor, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answer the question?" And the judge said, "Well, obviously he wants to tell us something, so maybe we should just listen to him and let him speak." So the man said, "Well, me and my dog and my mule, we were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner too fast and knocked us into the ditch. And the driver stopped and got out of his truck, and he saw that my dog was badly injured and suffering. So he went back to his truck, and he got his rifle, and he shot my dog and put it out of its misery. And then he looked at my mule, and my mule had a broken leg and was suffering. And so he shot my mule, and he put my mule out of its misery. And then he looked at me, and he said, 'Sir, how are you?' And I said, 'Perfectly fine.'" Look, the reality is that sometimes to get to the truth, you have to listen to the whole story. In fact, Jesus, he once told a story that was about four different soils. And what was interesting is that he started out by telling them to listen to the story. He tells us to listen to the story. And then at the end of the story, he strangely says the same thing. He says, you need to listen to the story. It's like he's saying, despite the fact that you have ears, you might hear what I'm saying, but you might miss out if you don't listen to the whole story. So we're going to jump into this parable of the four soils. But before we do, let's pray that God would give us ears to hear what he wants to say to each of us through it. So God, we want to listen to you in the midst of our story called life that you've given to us. We now come to this moment where you throw your story, this parable alongside our life. Lord, maybe many have never heard this parable before. Would you speak to them? Others of us, we maybe have heard this parable before, but we have never heard it with the exact set of circumstances that we bring to this moment, because our life is different now than we heard it before. So would you speak to us? Would you help us not just hear parts of it, but all of it, and reflect on our heart as a result, so that we might more deeply enter into your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section. If you're watching this online, you can click and get the notes there. You'll see the scripture notes that are there for us, as well as some room to take some notes as God might so impact you. We pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this: Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, sat in it out on the lake, while the people were at the water's edge on the shore. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because there was no root. Other seed fell amongst the thorns which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This parable is a parable about growth, which is a normal sign of health. I have 3 children, and I remember with nervous joy bringing each of them home from the hospital, and the joy of the miracle of this little life that I held in my hand. And I was nervous because as a new parent, as a new dad, I knew that I wanted them to grow as they should, because the outward growth would be a sign of the inward health. However, I also learned through being a parent that pediatricians have a term for a baby that is not growing, and that term is failure to thrive. See, thriving is what pediatricians expect to happen with a newborn if everything is working as it was designed and intended. But when a baby does not grow, the doctors might not immediately know what the obstacle is, but they know that if they're not growing, that there's something going on, that there's some barrier that is keeping the baby from thriving. Spiritually speaking, God wants us to grow and thrive. That is how he has designed us. But Jesus was constantly encountering people who were failing to thrive. They were choked by fears and worry, by anger. Their hearts were made small by sin and suffocated by hopelessness. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says it this way: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" You know, somebody might ask you, "How are you doing?" And some of you, you might know intuitively how you're doing. Others of you, you might be like, I need to think about it. I can't even remember what I did yesterday, let alone what's going on deeply in my heart. God knows that we all need help to see ourselves as we truly are. Psychologists call this trait, being able to see yourself as you truly are, they call it self-awareness. And what's interesting about self-awareness is we all think we have self-awareness, right? But we also know other people who think they have self-awareness, that we know the secret that they're not really that self-aware, right? Those other people. Now, don't point at them, don't nudge them, right? But you can probably think of people who are lacking self-awareness. In 2018, the Harvard Business Review did a study of 5,000 people. And in that study, they found that only 10 to 15% of these 5,000 people fit the criteria of being self-aware. However, when they asked these 5,000 people if they thought they were self-aware, nearly all of the people in the study claimed that they were self-aware. We all claim that we are self-aware, but in that study, only 10 to 15% actually fit the traits of people who are actually self-aware. So we need help in order for us to really examine our hearts. And that's why Jesus tells us parables, because in a sense, they get beyond our defense mechanisms, and they cause us to wrestle with them and how they apply for our life. Now, the key to understand any parable, but certainly this one as well, is that Jesus never tells a parable for you to think about and apply to other people. When he tells a parable, he's telling us a parable so that I can think about my life. Right now, you might be thinking, oh, I know someone who needs to hear this message. I'm glad it's going to be on the app because I'm going to forward it to them and just say, hey, I was thinking of you. You know, you should listen to this message. He tells the parable so that we can consider our own lives, our own hearts, and the invitation to enter in and live in this thing called the kingdom of God. Well, after he tells this parable, later on the disciples, they asked Jesus about this parable in private. Jesus, in Mark 4, verse 13, he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? He's like, this is kind of the easiest one I'm going to tell. And how could you, if you don't understand this, understand the others? He goes on in verse 14 and says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others are like seed sown on rocky places, and they hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others are like seed sown amongst thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Now, I love corn on the cob, and it's always one of my favorite things to kind of have. It's summertime, it's fresh and sweet, and it just, for whatever reasons, I just have good memories of corn on the cob, you know, slathered with butter and the, you know, some salt on it. I mean, I just love it. So several years ago, I decided to be an urban farmer, right? I mean, I just kind of felt like, you know, I live in LA, and I can not just read foodie blogs, but I can grow my own corn, right? So I decide that I'm going to plant some corn. So I'd never done this before, and I go to the local nursery, and I ask the expert there, I said, what is the best way to grow corn? And this is what he said to me. He said, well, good, here's some good news for you, that you live in the right place, because you need plenty of sun, and we get plenty of sun here. And he said, but before you get started, you need to test your soil to make certain that it's the kind of soil that'll let the seed do its thing. And I love that phrase. It'll let the seed do its thing. Jesus is saying the same thing. With this parable, he's saying, you need to test your soil. And you can think of your soil as a condition of your heart. Is your heart in a condition where it will allow the seed of God's word to do its thing? The bad news for all of us is that all of us have a heart condition. And so we're going to talk about four heart conditions, what each of them are, and what to do about it if you have it. The first one is having a hard heart. The first soil that the seed falls on is a path where the soil became hard. Now, soil, it doesn't start out hard. It has to have something happen to it in order for it to get hard. And in this case, either people walked on it or sheep walked on it, and it created a path. So Jesus says that the seed, to have a chance, that the soil has to be soft, not hard. It has to be open, not closed. But Jesus knows that in this life, with its pain, trauma, and hardship, that it's easy for our hearts to become hardened. You get disappointed, someone steps on your heart, and it gets a little harder. You get hurt, and it gets a little harder. And we begin to perform, form these protective shells. We get a little bit defensive. We get a little bit cynical. We even get a little bit bitter. And so when God's word comes to us, It's not even given a chance to enter in and do its thing. We begin to think, well, I've heard that before and it didn't work. Or that's just naive. That's all pie in the sky. It doesn't work in reality. We don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to hear it because we know that it will mean that something's got to change in our life. For the first soil, we don't want to receive God's word. It just lies there on the surface until the enemy comes and steals the seed. Let me ask you, is your heart tender and soft and open to what God wants to say to you? Or has it become closed and hardened towards him? When we gather, are you coming just to church? Or are you gathering saying, God, I want you to speak to me. And I want my heart to be open to you. The very first week of this series, 4 weeks ago, we had a time where I just asked God to speak to our hearts, like I often do at the end of the messages. And there was a young guy, I heard about him. He was investigating faith, true story, new to CA, one of his first weekends here. And so because I instructed everybody, just ask God to speak to you, he's like, okay. And so he asked God to speak to him. And said, God, would you speak to me? And in his heart, he heard this sentence, read the book of Matthew. The thing is he's never heard of the book of Matthew. So he turned to the person that he had met earlier in the courtyard that happened to be seated next to him. They had only just met moments ago. And as they were exiting, he said to this woman, hey, this might sound weird, but when that guy up there said that he was going to invite God to speak, I think I heard that I'm supposed to read the book of Matthew. Have you ever heard of this book? Like, where do you get this book? Because he'd never heard of the book of Matthew because he didn't grow up in a Christian home and doesn't know much about the Bible, doesn't know anything about the Bible. And so the person explained that Matthew is actually the name of a book in the Bible. And so that took a little explanation, of course, right? Like, what do you mean? I thought the Bible was a book. You mean there's books inside of the book? That's kind of weird. And so they had to kind of explain that a little bit. But no, there's a book called Matthew in the Bible. Let me tell you what I know about that guy. I've not even met him. It was the other person that told me this story. Here's what I know about you, guy, if you happen to be here and hearing my voice. Your heart is open to God. You are hearing from God and what he wants to say to you. What about me, though? What about you? Imagine a theoretical conversation in which one person says to another, you know, I've been thinking about you recently, and I've realized that you're kind of hard-hearted and defensive and closed off. And then the other person says, wow, thank you for pointing that out. How do you suggest that I change, right? How many times in the interactions of human history has that ever happened, right? That conversation has never happened in all of human history. That is why Jesus is telling us a story. He's giving hard hearts a chance to realize our own heart condition. And you might discover that there's a hard spot in your heart towards someone or even towards God. And he's telling you this so that if you can see in the mirror that your heart has become hard in that one area towards God, can you hear the invitation of God to allow him to tenderize your heart again? To open your heart up in that area to him again. You know, it can be painful at first to let God tenderize your heart. It's hard to have a tender heart towards God and towards people. It's easier to kind of say, you know what, I'm just going to numb it down and shut it down and distance off because I don't want to be hurt anymore. And yet God is looking for people that are willing to let themselves feel and let themselves hear God's word. And I'm going to be honest with you, that will expose you to some pain. Others around you might hurt you again. But the greater pain, I would say, is missing out on what God's word can do in a heart that is tender and open to it. And my prayer in those times where I find those hard spots in my own heart is, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, tenderize my heart again, but I'm asking that you would be big enough that the next time it gets hurt, that you would be big enough to heal it so it doesn't just harden up again. So that's the first heart condition. The second one is this, shallow hearts. Jesus says there's a type of heart that really likes and welcomes the word of God, but then at some point there comes distress and persecution because of it. And at that point it's over because there is no root. This is so true. I've seen this so many times. Someone comes to one of the weekend services or maybe comes on a retreat or maybe just I know them in the neighborhood or somebody else does and they share the good news of Jesus and these people, they say yes to Jesus. And the word of God is welcomed into their life, but it's not invited to go deep. This happens whenever, when we want God's word of comfort, but we don't want God's word of conviction. When we want God's word of affirmation, but we don't want God's word of rebuke. When we want God's word of acceptance, but we don't want God's word of discipline. The sign of a shallow heart is when we begin to pick and choose what part of God's word we will accept. And within a few weeks or months, distress arrives. You mean that following Jesus means that I'm going to have to change something in my life? You mean that following Jesus means I'm going to have to say no to certain things? You mean I'm going to have to begin to do other things? Or maybe some form of persecution arrives. Persecution at the time of Jesus might have looked very different than it does maybe right now here in Los Angeles today. But at the same time, many of you, and I would include myself in this as well, if you decide to become a committed follower of Jesus today, you're going to face some type of persecution. It might take the form of social persecution, maybe judgment against you, maybe assumptions about you, being grouped in with communities that may not represent your views and values. Maybe you'll be mocked as being bigoted or closed-minded or narrow-minded by family or coworkers. Maybe you'll be judged because of values that you see in God's word that now you're trying to live out. See, the person who is so passionately worshiping Jesus one weekend, in a few weeks that follows, suddenly they can disappear off the face of the earth. They don't show up to church. They're not in a life group anymore. They begin to distance themselves. They don't return phone calls or texts. They're just gone. The seed of the gospel that sprang up in their heart that began to emerge as a plant that was so energetic and excited, but roots were never formed. This is one of the reasons why when somebody makes a recommitment to Christ, I actually celebrate it. Because what they're saying is, would you go deeper in me? Would you go deeper in me? In fact, this weekend the middle of the week, we had something called Chapel on the Road and had about 300 middle school students that were here and we shared the gospel with them and it was amazing. And 12 students made first-time commitments to Christ, which is amazing. But 77 other students made recommitments to Christ. And I said, they've already welcomed God's word, but now they're saying, would you go deeper? Would you go deeper? As the author Richard Foster once observed, superficiality is the curse of our age. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. Does your heart, does my heart, soil go deep? Well, how can you tell? Here's how you can tell. Here's a little reflection I've been doing in my own life I offer to you. Are you willing to allow the Word of God to go deep enough to access your life to change anything about your life? Are you allowing it to go deep enough to impact your finances? Deep enough to impact your sexuality? Deep enough to impact your view of other people? Deep enough to impact your view of other ethnicities? Deep enough to impact what you will watch, what you will drink, what you will smoke, deep enough to care about biblical justice, even when it doesn't benefit you to do so, deep enough to impact your work life? Or are there places in your life where you've already decided that God's word doesn't get to go there, doesn't get to impact that? Because if that's true, then you've already set a threshold, you've already set a limit for how deep you will allow God's word to go in your life. Jesus warns us against this in verse 17. He says that this soil, these people who are like this, they have no root. See, if you don't let God's word go deep, you won't last long as a follower of Jesus. Because the reality is that there are going to be some days ahead that are going to be hot under the sun. See, plants in good soil that produce much fruit, they experience the same hot sun as the plants in the rocky soil, the shallow soil. The sun is consistent. We all experience distress. We all experience some form of persecution for our faith, for living and upholding the values that we see and find in God's word. And if you as you're living that out, as you begin to experience that, if you don't have a root that goes deep, you will wither under the persecution. I want to encourage you. How deep are you letting God's word go into your life? You know, part of me, whenever I decided to preach on this parable, I thought, well, you know, I preached on this before, and maybe some people have heard this before, and God again just reminded me, it's not that they haven't heard it. It's that it needs to go deeper in their life. To go into the depths of who you are. To let God's word impact every area of your life. Of how you understand yourself. Of how you live your life. To know that at the end of the day, you will be judged. And you can either let the judgments of people make you depart from the followership of Jesus, or you can let the judgment of God make you resilient against the judgment of people. Will you let God's word, its roots go deep? Because when God's word is rooted in your life, you don't have to be afraid that the sun will ever be strong enough to scorch you out. The third type of a heart that we see here is what I would call a cluttered heart. Some of the seed fell amongst the third type of soil, where there's just a lot going on. It's a very busy soil with weeds and thorns growing in it. The soil here is soft. I mean, it's supporting some forms of life, or else weeds wouldn't be there and thorns wouldn't be there. It's soft and it's deep. I mean, seeds can get into it, or else the thorns wouldn't be there, the weeds wouldn't be there, but it's cluttered. And a cluttered heart, I would say, is probably in some ways the most dangerous because it is the most subtle. I can think, when I look and kind of reflect on my own heart, I can think, well, my heart is not hard, and I am not shallow, so I'm fine. But Jesus gives us a clue that the weeds in this story represent, quote, the worries of this life. Okay, now all of a sudden it's hitting close to home. Wait a second, Jesus. As I reflect on my heart this week, was I worried about anything in life this week? I was. In fact, I've been meditating on God's word where he says in the Sermon on the Mount, who of you by worrying can add even a single moment to your life? Do you not know your Father who's in heaven already knows your needs, and he will provide for all of them as you seek him in his kingdom day by day? Let me ask you, as you think about your life, is there anything you're worried about? Might be a sign of a cluttered heart. The worries of this life, and then he goes on and says, the deceitfulness of this wealth. See, a worried, cluttered heart can begin to think that we can save our way to salvation. That if we just save enough, then everything will be okay. We'll be able to get it all set, so then we can be at peace. Like if I have enough money saved up, it won't matter exactly what happens with the trade war that's going on, or inverted yield curves, or any of that stuff, because I'll have enough money saved up that I'll just be fine. It's subtle. You just jump online for a moment while you're making the cup of coffee in the morning, and you fully intend to spend time with God and his word, letting his word go deep in your heart, but you jump online and then you burn through a half an hour on social media feeds, and now you're rushing out the door to work and you don't have any time. You were more concerned about the news or how your sports team did, and let me tell you, I'm not casting any stones. I'm just telling you this because it happens to me. Or maybe we become so concerned with others that we're left with no financial margin in our life. You know, we're so concerned to keep up with the Joneses. Let me remind you, the Joneses are drowning in debt. If you read any of the stats, they're all drowning in debt. I want to drown in debt too, so I'm going to do what they do. And then Jesus calls us to be generous. And when he does, his word, it just gets suffocated in our life. Maybe we need to do some financial weeding. Those of you who are middle school or high school students, I want to speak to you. I feel such great compassion for you. You can be so afraid that you are falling behind or missing out that you try to do everything and be everywhere all the time. Your life and your schedules are busier than working adults that I know. And by the way, all the studies show that you suffer with anxiety and worry at a higher rate than any previous generation in all of history. You're so driven by the cares of this world and the fears about your future that you're exhausted. You're exhausted. You feel like you have to not only be an A-plus student, but you also have to be the best athlete in your school, and you also have to play the cello well enough to play for the LA Philharmonic in the future. I don't know any adults who are like that. I know an entire generation of students who are like that. You're so driven because you're so afraid and you're so worried about the cares of this world. Don't hear me saying that you shouldn't do your best in school. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that your future is not singularly determined on how well you can kick a soccer ball. It's not singularly determined on what your club baseball coach says or even your teacher. But instead, God has a plan for you. Will you spend time with him and let his word go deep? Remember that corn that I planted? Well, here's what happened to it. I put it in the ground and I made certain that it had good deep soil. And I'm savvy, and so I have an automatic sprinkler system. And so I had all the tubes set up and everything because, you know, I'm not going to be out there watering it every day. And so I set the sprinkler system and it started to sprout. And it grew to about 4 feet in height. So I'm like, look at me, I'm growing corn and I'm not even paying attention to it. And I was delighted as this was happening. It even started to get some like little corn cobs growing on it. And I couldn't wait for the harvest to come. But I got really, really busy, too busy to even glance at the corn, too busy to pay attention to the corn, and then my sprinkler tubes got clogged, and because I didn't check on the corn due to my being busy, the sun scorched all of the corn and killed it. And we never actually ate from the corn. I missed the harvest because I was too busy. I was too distracted on what I was trying to grow. Now, the end of that story, of course, is that I went to a farmer's market, and I was like, hey, well, I'm going to buy these, but we can't do that with the kingdom of God. We don't get to outsource it and say, well, I'm just going to buy your experience of a deep word, uncluttered heart, and import it into my life. See, missing the harvest of the corn is one thing, but missing the good harvest that God wants to uniquely grow into your life is quite another. The fourth and final of the hearts is what I call a soft, deep, uncluttered heart. When God's word meets a soft, deep, uncluttered heart, we will thrive. The growth is unstoppable if the soil is right. God's increase will happen in us and through us when we let the seed, quote, do its thing, as the corn expert told me. And the increase will be beyond our wildest imagination, 30, 60, or even 100-fold. Jesus, he told this parable as a challenge to people that wanted to know God and wanted God's word in their life, but also not only as a challenge, but as an encouragement to those who want to be his followers. And if you are a follower of Jesus, I know not everyone that is in the sound of my voice as a follower of Jesus, and I'm so glad that you're here as you're investigating Jesus, because there's really no other way to do it other than be around the Jesus community. But for those of you who have decided already to be followers of Jesus, I think he wants to encourage you and encourage us through this. You see, when healthy things grow, they grow and they bear fruit, and we know that then that fruit ends up spreading more seed around them. So let me ask you, if you're a follower of Jesus, do you see any fruit from God's word in your life? Are you pursuing the things of God while learning to say no to the things that distract you from it? Are you serving others in Jesus' name where maybe you didn't do that before, but now because part of God's word got into your heart, you begin to make priorities that you didn't have before that moment in time? Let me ask you, have you led anyone into a personal relationship with Jesus? Where you could say, well, before I didn't do that, but now I look for that opportunity and I look for the chance to pray and lead a family member, a coworker, a neighbor into a relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody that you're making time to help them grow in Christ, that they're new in faith or maybe younger in the faith than you are, and you're going to make time to disciple them? Is there anywhere that you are growing in fresh obedience to a fresh area of God's word in your life? Now, many of you will say yes to those questions. And I want to say well done. And I want to say well done and keep going, letting God's word thrive in your life. Keep not only taking God's word into your life, but share it with others. You see, whenever something reaches its full harvest, it actually creates more seed to be sown onto the soils around it. And at times you'll sow seed by sharing God's word and people will be hard and non-responsive. Or maybe they'll be shallow or cluttered. And Jesus says, listen, this happens all the time in the kingdom of God. And you're going to be tempted to quit, but because now you know this parable, you won't. You'll keep sowing God's word, and a harvest will come. Listen, it is not your job to judge any soil, any condition of any heart other than your own. That's what I love about this farmer. He's just lavishly throwing seed all over the place, saying, I don't know which one is going to be the one that's responsive. Farmers don't know how the seed grows. They just put it in the ground and it grows. So don't get discouraged. Keep spreading God's word into the lives of those around you. You never know who might be the one that is a soft and deep and uncluttered heart. Look at Jesus and all the failures he experienced with people. Jesus concluded this parable of the four soils by saying, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Author Flannery O'Connor said it this way, a story is a way to say something that can't be said any other way. What is Jesus saying to you through this story? Let's pray. Maybe your heart's soil, as you reflect on this, maybe it's not as good as you thought it was. But here's some hope. There's a progression to be found in this parable of these four soils that Jesus teaches on. From the beginning to the end, each of the soils becomes more and more receptive to God's word. The great mistake that you can make with this particular parable is that you can think the soils are a fixed state, that they can't change. Well, I'm just hard-hearted. That's just how I am. I'm just shallow. I'm just cluttered. That's just how I am. Don't make that mistake. Jesus is telling us this parable, and by the very fact that he's telling us this parable, he's telling us this because he's saying, you can change. You know, the soil, it begins as indifferent, and then it becomes opportunistic, and then it becomes very interested but cluttered and distracted, and then it eventually becomes fully committed and accepting. Wherever you find yourself, as you allow God to assess your heart condition, whatever soil you recognize yourself to be, maybe you even recognize, well, different parts of your heart are different parts of the soil. You know, you're hard-hearted in this area, but you're totally open and deep and uncluttered in this other area. But you can move towards becoming the good soil that Jesus teaches on with God's help. And so, God, would you help us? Even now, would you speak, Lord, to each one of us that are within the sound of my voice? Would you help us see the condition of our heart. Ask God right now to help you accurately see what's going on in your heart. And pray that God would help you become good soil. God, would you help me become good soil? Would you help us become good soil? Some of you, maybe for the very first time, you've heard the gospel of Jesus before, but it keeps getting stolen away. And maybe for the very first time, you need to say yes to him. You need to respond that he's come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. He came and died to not only forgive you of your sins, but to cleanse you of all unrighteousness so that you could be made right with God. And if you want that, you could say, God, I want that. Would you take that word? Would you take the good news of Jesus and go deep into my heart with it? Don't just give me a second chance. Give me a second birth. Give me a new nature. Pay for my sins on the cross and teach me how to become good soil, that I might yield all the harvest you want me to yield for you and your kingdom. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you let me or one of the other pastors know? Maybe let somebody that you know is a follower of Jesus know. We just want to celebrate with you. Others of you, where do you need to allow the gospel of Jesus to go deeper into your life? Allow its roots to take hold of places in your heart and life where you've previously said, you can't go there. Or you can only go halfway. Will you now say, yes, I want your word to go deep enough to impact me even in that area? Still others of us, where do you need to just hear and be reminded that you need to refocus yourself on the gospel of Jesus and away from the worries of this world? Do not worry, Jesus says, for who of you by worrying can add even a single moment to your life? We can waste moments of our life by worry, but we can never add a moment to our life by worry. Or you need to refocus away from the deceitfulness of wealth. Lord, would you produce a good harvest in each one of our lives? Would you keep our hearts deep and soft and uncluttered to what you want to say to us, we pray, that we might yield for you 30, 60, or 100-fold in our lives and the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.